Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's Thursday, so that means we kick off the show with our Associated Bank Thought Leader conversation. And it's that time of the year where we look back at the year, but also keep our eyes open to what's ahead. John Horton, Vice President and Senior Residential Sales Manager in the Chicago region at Associated Bank, is here to talk residential real estate. John, good morning, and welcome back to the opening bell.
Hey, good morning, Bennett. Hope you had a good Christmas.
I did, and I hope the same was for you as well.
It was very nice. Goes by fast.
Good. Yeah, we're back here kicking. We're got to finish out the year strong, though, right?
Ready for a good 2019. Got a week left, a couple
That's
of days.
What we're hoping for, and speaking of, we're at the point of the year where we can look back in 2018, look forward to 2019. And this was a pretty monumental year for a lot of regards, but I think the overarching theme for 2018, correct me if I'm wrong, was the year of the interest rates. Was that right?
You know, it was. And the funny thing is the buildup for the interest rate hikes, I want to say, has been going on 6 or 7 years. You know, refi now, get it now before rates go up. And that was back in the 2006, 2007 era. So for people to say they're surprised is a little shocking, only because it's been talked about. But when it finally hits, it finally hits. And even this year, you know, when they go to the Fed meeting with the big piles of paper and they walk out and say, we're not doing anything. Sometimes the buildup alone has an effect on rates. And then when they don't do anything, sometimes it doesn't have an effect on rates. And even when they do raise those Fed funds, it doesn't automatically trickle down to mortgages. We've seen times when they've raised the rates and mortgages have actually gone down. So what people need to understand is call your mortgage banker over at Associated Bank. You know, have a conversation. Don't just believe what you hear on the news. For instance, rates have gone down about 0.375 in the last week. You don't hear that on the news.
Right.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it's those open conversations. It's the bankers reaching out to clients, LinkedIn, Facebook, and just advertising what it is. So it is kind of interesting. Where it does have a major effect, though, is on car loans, on home equities, on credit cards. So people hear rates, they automatically run to mortgages. You know, the 30-year right now is about 4.75, obviously, given credit appraisal, things like that. A week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks, it was 5.125. So 3/8 is a major drop. Depending on your loan size, we had a gentleman call in yesterday that might be refinancing. 0.375 on his size loan will save him quite a bit of money. So it's not all doom and gloom, but it was definitely the year of the rate hikes and a lot of focus on the market.
Sure. That definitely topped the list in a lot of people's regards as well. So, but there were also a lot of other occurrences that really shook things up as far as impacting the market from homeowners' perspectives to the economic perspectives. With an article that we kind of took a look at and we broke down, there were a lot of other things going on, and we can just kind of roll through these that we saw throughout 2018 as one of the big trends. One of these was inventory as far as peaking in 2018, but then home buyers really responding to that, and it kind of surprised a lot of people. Do you think that was a lot of people's surprise, or it was just one of those under the radar things?
You know, I think for a while there, when houses weren't moving, and it kind of put everything in perspective when they were moving, and now there's more buyers than there are sellers. Some of the sellers got really greedy, started passing up on some offers thinking, I'll get another one. You might not get another one. You know, some people aren't in a rush. They can stay. They don't need to move. Those that really need to move, and when you work with your realtor, price it right. You know, some people do price it high. That really discourages a lot of people from looking. They'll know it's priced high, and then if you make an offer, sometimes the sellers are offended. Why are you lowballing me? Well, then come back with another one. You know, next year they're saying that growth is supposed to be about 7%, so it's a little lower than this year. So you're going to have more competition. It's still going to be a seller's market, but the buyers need to be, we talk about it all the time, pre-approved. You know, reach out to your banker at Associated, get your pre-approval. If you don't buy a house, you shred your pre-approval letter. You're not committed to anything. But with that 7% growth, with more competition out there, with finding your first time home, it's nice to have that letter, and it just moves things quicker.
Yeah, and that affordability aspect is also a huge factor, because I know there's a ton of millennials that we all love to talk about. They're going to be coming into their, if not first-time home buyers, their second, you know, third moving on up into the home industry.
Oh, absolutely. They're saying 70% of millennial home owners own a residence that's less than 2,000 square feet.
I found that fascinating.
Big enough if you're a single millennial, but if you marry another millennial and you have little millennial babies, you're going to want more square footage. So you're absolutely right. They're saying by the year 2020, most of the millennials will be 30. So that's kind of post-college, a few years into your career, maybe a little bit of money in your pocket, maybe a spouse, and then the kid. 2,000 feet gets sucked up pretty quick. So yeah, they're going to be out looking probably quicker than they thought they would. They're making that move from off the couch into a house, and all of a sudden, 3-4 years later, they got to be moving again. So they could have their second home within 3 or 4 years, which is something I don't think any of you millennials ever thought would happen in such a short period of time.
Thinking of just in two or three year spans just alone,
it's amazing.
It's hard for my mind to work like that, but I know that's how you got to be looking at it.
Look at this year.
Right.
You know, in January, you're talking about the fourth quarter. Don't worry about it. Well, 2 days left and we're already here. We're worrying about 2019.
Exactly.
We're looking forward to 2019, I should say.
Right. But just one touching on the last point apart regarding millennials, there was a big factor as well with impacting their home buying and also businesses shifting, and that also impacting the way that young homeowners look at what they want to buy next. This whole bleeding out aspect of companies moving from the suburbs to bigger cities, more urban areas, because that's where all of the talent is. And with millennials driving a lot of that talent, are we going to see that reverse of the pendulum? Are we going to see a lot of millennials moving back out to the suburbs because it's just too congested? They want more than that 2,000 square feet. I mean, where is that going to lead us?
You know, I think you might, because some people, as young as they are, they want that city experience. You know what? I'm going to move out. I'm going to move downtown. I'm going to go. After a while, not that it gets old, but you want to settle down a little bit, maybe a little quieter, maybe not on Rush Street, if that's even a thing anymore. I don't know if Rush Street is a thing anymore. But we've had people come in that want to move back because they want a yard. They don't care how big the yard is. They want the grass and they want a barbecue and they want to get a dog. You know, your perfect millennial dream. You know, I think you might, and you're also seeing a lot of companies that were placed in certain areas where the housing prices rose, so employers couldn't afford to stay there anymore. You know, they call that, what was it, the Salesforce.com scenario,
right,
where they capped their employers at 10,000 in this area. Everyone else started moving. They could not afford, they could afford to work there, they couldn't afford to live there. So they were going further out in the burbs. It was hurting Salesforce.com, so they opened satellite offices to kind of follow their employers, because they were good employers. They couldn't afford to stay in the area because the area got so hot, which is great if you own a home and it appreciates and you get equity out of it. But if you really like your job but just can't afford to stay in the areas, you're seeing a lot of companies now cater to those employees, that they're not going to put in 50 offices, but they might put in, and they're talking Indianapolis to Columbus. So it's not really local, but they may relocate somewhere that's more affordable so they can keep their good employees.
Yeah, it puts a lot of places on the map as far as where a possible place to live or work that you had no idea was even in your mind when you thought of an urban area or a big city. These are still options now that millennials to Gen Xers to baby boomers might be able to look at.
And you are seeing that in the suburbs. It's kind of interesting. You know, you'll see corporate offices. A lot of them are coming downtown. There's tax advantages, whatever other reasons. But same reason, they're seeing a lot of their employees move out to the burbs. Commute isn't bad. You hop on the train. But if they can save that $200 a month on a train ticket and just Uber to work or Scoot to work, or however you want to get there, the employers are really valuing their employees, making it easier to work remote, opening up a different location. So it is kind of interesting to see, but then you look out the window and you see all the cranes here that they're not stopping the building in the city at all.
No, it's not slowing down. And speaking of not slowing down, 2019 is right around the corner next week, as a matter of fact, and the 2019 Realtor.com forecast came out recently, and there were a lot of takeaways from that. So let's kind of roll through a few of them here.
Sure.
One of the biggest ones, will have more homes for sale, but mostly luxury homes. Walk us through that one there.
You know, and it's just a price point that's tougher to move. You know, anything over $1 million is tougher to move. So you're seeing a lot of those staying on the market for a longer period of time. So it's kind of a niche market that, you know, your first-time home buyer is not going to buy your $1 million house, your $650, your $750 house. Depending on the areas that you're moving into, how much the house is, what it's listing for, the people that are listing the luxury homes are really going to need to have some patience. And you may not. You may get someone come in, beautiful house, let's go. But you really can't be in a hurry to move if you're going to be trying to, it's a select buyer that's going to walk in and purchase that home.
Sure. And I think that's a larger trend as well, as one of those that was touched on, that the rate of selling from the time of listing to the time of closing, that's really going to shift, that it was rapid this year.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's going to slow down just a bit next year.
It's going to slow down. You know, your normal application to close with a fully complete application is about 30 days. So it's pretty quick. But by the time you list and you go through the listing and the open houses and the time that you need to wait, we tell people, be patient. If you don't think you want to move, don't list your house. If you think you may and really have nothing to stick around for, but you don't have to move, list your house. That way, if it doesn't sell, you're not tied to a contract for another home. If things start moving, which they have started moving, we've seen November and December, things pick up dramatically, absolutely crazy, which is great.
Right. And another aspect of really being patient and knowing when the right time is the affordability. And another one of the trends in the forecast was that affordability is going to be a huge predictor in when millennials will be buying, when larger generations will be buying. And I think that comes back to the roundabout of interest rate talk and where that leaves us as far as 2019 may or may not be, you know, again, the year of the interest rate, or things will be kind of slowing down and calming down as things move forward.
You know, and they're talking by the end of 19, but it gets a crystal ball. It's like a weather forecaster. I love Tom Skilling, but he's not right all the time. You know, it's, you really kind of throw it out there. I really do love Tom Skilling, so if he's listening, I really do. But the mortgage rate hike, there's so much more that goes with that. They started talking about recession 4 days ago. Well, guess what happened? Rates went down. Well, guess what happened? We're not in a recession right now. But they're forecasting, which is their job, but they're also scaring people to death. You know, rates at 5.5 by the end of 2019 was what they had mentioned. I think at the end of 2018, at the beginning of this year, they headed about 5.5 1/8. They're pretty darn close. But it comes back to that conversation. You don't know what you can afford until you sit down, you meet with someone at Associated Bank. You may be surprised. You may have credit issues that you didn't know about. So now let's take the 6 months and work with you. Let's build that credit up so you can buy a house in June. And don't cap yourself out. If your maximum mortgage payment is $3,000, you know what? Go for $2,500, because you know what? Your taxes most likely are going to go up. So, and you might be better off renting for 2 years. But you're not going to know until you have a completely free conversation to either get yourself ready to buy a home, fix your credit, or decide, you know what, you might change jobs. Just rent. It's just not going to be worth it for you.
Right. And that rental market is still going to be around. And it's
crazy.
It's not slowing down for anybody.
Not at all. Not at all. Because you are finding people that aren't sure if they want to settle in the city. They don't know. They don't want to invest in the condominium or in the home. Let's rent a place. You know what? Rent a place for 6 to 8 months. If we like it, we'll stay. If not, no harm, no foul. You can go.
Yeah. And speaking of knowing those ins and outs of what you can afford, and like you said, the taxes, that will be a big factor. That was one of the last ones on the forecast as well, of the new tax law. It not quite getting involved into the mix of things at the moment, since it'll be just implementing. Mm-hmm. But that's another big thing that will be on everybody's radar.
You know, it's one of those things that I still can't believe it, because they're really hurting a lot of people by taking away the tax credit or the tax incentive for high taxes or a certain amount of your interest. But again, you're also helping a lot of people. So like you said, I think you're really going to see that, where people are expecting a bigger return in 2019, didn't really concentrate on that tax law, which they should have, and don't get it. Or you might find a lot of people selling homes. We don't need this luxury home where my taxes are $25,000. Let's move into a smaller home that we can afford better and continue to get that tax break. So I think you're going to see a lot of this. I think when we're back here in May, kind of seeing the news reports on what trickled down after that. And maybe they'll make some changes, maybe they won't.
Sure. Well, we'll keep that in the back of our head as we move into 2019 next week.
Absolutely.
John, how do people get in touch with you to have a conversation like this one-on-one?
They can get in touch with me by either emailing me at john.horton, H-O-R-T-O-N, at associatedbank.com, or they can call my office at 312-544-4616.
John, thank you so much for coming in.
And, thanks, buddy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, my friend.
John Horton, Vice President and Senior Residential Sales Manager in the Chicago region at Associated Bank, here in our Thought Leader conversation. We'll chat a bit more after the bell, and you can hear that conversation with John and our other thought leaders at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page, but also at AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership.